Okay, we're going to continue our series that Duncan started last week with, it's on paradoxes of the Old Testament. And paradoxes are a seemingly absurd, self-contradictory statement that when you investigate them, that are actually found out to be true. Paradoxes. So there's some of you here are really in God's good books, because you were amongst the first people to get here this morning. Yeah. But you're also in the bad books because you were still 10 minutes late. See, paradox. And we've got loads of paradoxes down in Islington. We're actually like Paradox City down there. Okay. And this morning we're going to look at the paradox of the terribly compassionate God. And so what we're going to ask is, how can Daddy, Papa, Abba Father, our loving God, be the same God that was involved with all them atrocities in the Old Testament? Have you ever asked yourself that? Many people out on the street, when you're sharing the gospel with them, will point out to that. And that's what we're going to look at today. How can we? You know, how can that be the same God? I truly believe that as we unfold this, it will help us to get a deeper understanding of the God that we worship, this God of all eternity that we were worshiping about earlier. I mean, wasn't that amazing worship? Come on, let's give these guys a big round, you know. And that song, Lady, at the end, I don't know your name, that was, I was there. It's like freedom. Who wants freedom in the house? Come on, that's what it's all about. And I want you to enter this, because I do believe God will come. And there was a picture given earlier about hearts that were becoming hard. And we're going to show a little bit of how our hearts can become hard, or kind of like rocks can get in our heart that hinder the work of the Holy Spirit or God with us working in our lives now. And hopefully we'll get there. And so, Old Testament. I absolutely love the Old Testament. I remember when I first started to read the Bible, I didn't know any other Christians, not one, nor did my mate Tony. And we used to spend a lot of time in bars and pubs and that. And it just came to the time of life I started to read the Bible, you know, cover to cover, because that's what I thought you did. I didn't know, I remember not one Christian. And I remember as I started to read it, it was like me and Tony used to be getting wrecked on a Friday or a Saturday night, because that's how I spent most of my life for about 12 years before God called me. And I said to him, I went, Tony, he went, what? I went, I'm reading the Bible. He went, you're joking. I went, no. I said, it's all right, Tone. I said, there's this guy called Abraham. And started telling him about that. And then a couple of months later, there's this Moses and all his story and Joseph. And we was getting out of it. And I'm telling him these Old Testament stories. Now, I didn't know that I was bringing him to faith at the time, because I wasn't even a Christian at the time. But I'm telling him these stories, and it was great. You know, well, I think it took about a year after that, still didn't know any Christians at all. But I came to faith just by reading it. It took another year to go to church after that, because I thought all churchgoers were kind of like weird, and now I know they are. So, and I'm one of them. And then about 6 months after that, Tony came to faith. So there's real power in the Old Testament stories, real power. And but it came to me. I mean, we used to fight a lot in them days. Violence was kind of like a way of life for us. It's just how it was there. And but I can remember as I was reading the Bible, it was like, wow, there's so many wars and killings and, you know, gouging eyes out for a whole nation at one point. I thought, if you know your Bible, you know that that's true. It's in there. And it's like, if this violence doesn't stop, I'm going to stop reading the Bible. It was like, I said to God, because I had some kind of relationship then, even though I wasn't a Christian, it was like, I know you're there, and if I don't get to the Jesus bit soon, I'm going to stop. That was it. And anyway, I carried on reading, and I got to the Jesus bit. Praise the Lord. It's in there. It's definitely in there, because I've read it. And so The thing is, it's very easy for us to cover up these stories or gloss over them, fluff them up or make them sound better than they actually are. I mean, we do it every day. It's probably going on out there now with a Sunday school, isn't it? You know, with the Noah's Ark story. You know, a couple of hippos, two, you know, walking down and sort of like to the ark. We're going on a boat ride today, you know. And, oh, look, there's Noah. And a couple of lions next to each other, smiling away. Yeah, I wonder where we're going to go, you know. Have you ever seen lions smile? No. And then there's a couple of the old giraffes. There's always giraffes in the picture, isn't there, you know. And it's very nice with a little rainbow over the top, a few birdies flying about. It's just a wonderful picture, isn't it? They go on a little boat ride and then, you know, the water subsides and they get out of the boat and it's happily ever after. That's what we teach them, isn't it? Yeah, wonderful. What about the rest of the story? Everyone who didn't get on a boat ride was wiped out. Man, women, everybody, insects, animals, everything was wiped out and drowned. Drowning is not a very nice kind of way to die, is it? See, paradox. God saved some, the rest got it. And there's another one. Well, but what about the Passover? You know, we love the Passover story, don't we? You know, go and get a lamb. Who doesn't like lamb? Whose favourite meat is lamb? Come on, lamb, come on. Get a bit of lamb, or you can use the other stuff. And you know, just get indoors, nice little fire, bit of blood over the door. And then God's going to do something out of here. You wipe, you know, do your stuff. And you know, so you picture yourself in the house, don't you? Warm fire, eating the lamb, and it all gets taken out on other people. Nice. But what about out there? And it was the angel of the Lord. Does anyone know who the angel of the Lord was? God, see, doing it out there, wiping them out. We don't tell them that. I'm thankful we don't. Yeah, right? But it's what happened. Paradox, you see. God saved some, but a lot of people got it. Animals as well, the firstborn were done for. And then we have the best one, because I know the kids love this, the story of Joshua. You know, God says, go and wipe out Jericho. But there's this great big wall outside Jericho. And how you're going to do it is just walk around a few times and then shout as loud as you can and just blow a few trumpets. The wall's going to come down and take the city. And so they walk around and we get the kids to do a bit of walking and then all of a sudden you shout and then you blow the trumpets and way, the wall comes down. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Because then they take the city and it's done. And the kids love that. But actually, the command from God was to destroy everybody in the walls, the whole city, old, young, men, women, sheep, donkeys, absolute carnage in there. Yet he saved Rahab and the family. We've got a paradox again. You know, God saving, God being merciful and kind and good to some, but wiping the others out. And so the question came to me anyway, when I was going through this, is how can we love our enemies when it seems to me, anyway, and who wouldn't love to wipe out an enemy right now? If you've got an enemy, you think, God, it's the Old Testament. Can't we just go back there and just, you know? Yes. Okay, you know that? Got you now. So you all need to repent and you can come up for prayer at the end, okay? But you do get that now and again, don't you? Wow. But how can we, love our enemies when actually it seems on the surface of things that God wipes them out, when God does them in. And you know, these truths can shake our faith to the core of our being. They can shake us. You know, we've got this awful slaughter on one side, and then we've seemed to have this papa, daddy, father of love on the other side that we've been singing about this morning. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, any scholars out there will have known his name. He said this, that with faith, there are three stages of faith. First of all, you come to faith and you've got a strong faith and it's sound and it's like, I believe. Yeah. And then God puts something in your life, something shocking, something weird, something sometimes beyond understanding. Christians, we call them, usually. And you lot obviously not like that. Yeah. We used to do alphas, right? And years back in the day when they first started with 100 and something people. And it was wonderful because people on Alpha, they love each other, they care for each other, you pray for each other, you even know their names. You know, it's wonderful. And you share. But then it comes to the last couple of weeks of Alpha, and that feeling starts to creep in. You know, they're going to get to know the church now. Oh, my word. Okay. But what I'm happy to say and pleased to say, that's not what you'll find here. That here you are like our people in Islington, so loving, so caring. And that's why I believe that God has got us together to reproduce what Duncan and our gang at the Well Church have produced, just a loving bunch of people that really are the family of God, that really do worship him for who he is, a God of love. Amen, church? And so we go to the next level. As something difficult happens in our life, or we read passages like that, it rocks us at first. But as we work our way through it, you could go through a loss. But it's when you know that God is with you through that, you come out the other side, and our faith is so, so much stronger. And that's where we become mature. Is there anyone in the house would like to be a mature Christian? Come on, we do. And this is, that's the whole idea of this series, is that we take people deeper and maturity comes, that we can be more loving out there. But people like Richard Dawkins, I'm sure you've heard of him, have caused many people to stumble by their understanding of the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament God. That's why we need to understand what was going on there. You know, he said this, that God, the God of the Old Testament, is terrible, is jealous and proud, is unjust, is unforgiving, he's a control freak, he's a bloodthirsty racist, he's an ethnic cleanser, and he's a genocidal, capriciously malevolent bully. And if you understand what that is, give yourself a house point, because I still don't know what that means. But he said that. He said that. But just being honest, you know. But the thing is, but the thing is, what makes it difficult is we can see what he's getting on about. We can see where he got that from. You know, when you look at the story of Joseph, I mean, he was the most ruthless, you know, he was great, okay. So he had some ups and downs in his life. Some of it he deserved, some of it he didn't. But in the end, he was exalted up and became second in command, a wonderful leader, fantastic story. But man, he was a ruthless businessman. I mean, so the people he got his fame from, they were dying of hunger out there. There was a famine. These people were starving. So he took their money, okay? Then he took their possessions. Then he took their homes. And then he got them to sell them very selves to him. We tend not to think about that side of things. And so it is difficult. But it's, and I'll tell you what, it seems to me that with Abraham, when God called Abraham in Genesis 22, he said to Abraham that you will be a blessing to all nations. Now, it seems to me, with all this loss and fighting going on, that not many people out there are going to feel blessed. In fact, I reckon that there was a few people who had the right ump out there. And so we've got the choice now. Even some of you now can see it now. Where's he going with this? He's like, do we believe this? Wait till Duncan gets back, you know? And so we've got the choice now whether to ignore it or to study it and grow solid in our faith. And so what's the answer? Actually, I don't know. I was hoping Manuela, would you come up and finish it off for me? I'll have a go. Okay. I'm going to give three reasons. Okay. There are many more. But first of all, what we've got to do is place the story of Joshua into the bigger story. You know, God created the world for a reason and a purpose. Yeah, that God wanted to and is now. This is what God is all about. He's not about anything else. He wants to birth his sons. He wants to birth his daughters. And when this world is finished with, when sin is finished with, he's going to take us into a world that is totally different to this, that is full of love, full of care, full of everything we would ever dream of forever. God is about that. But there will be some that choose to love this God of love for who he is, and they will choose to be part of his family, and they will choose peace in their life. But there will be some that will choose not that. They will choose to live without God, on their own, doing life their own way. And I want to say at this point, it's like when you think of your life, my life, and look at the last year, it's very easy to think, it's why has that happened? God, I'm doing your will. You know, I'm doing what you're asking me to do. Why has so much of that stuff happened in my life? And so often it's because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about his story. And as God catches us up into his family, we become part of his story. Now, I would have loved to have been born and in Wales when it was the Welsh Revival. Imagine that, if you was a Christian in that time, would have been fantastic. In the Second World War, watched a film recently on Dunkirk, it wouldn't have been so nice to be born at that time, in that era. But we are born in this era. I believe it's an exciting time. I believe that things are changing, and that around the world we're seeing God transform societies and nations. You know, South Korea, you can mention loads now that God is doing. We've got to catch up with him, guys, and that's what's going on. And so it's all about being the bigger story. If we just take the Joshua story for what it is, it would be out of context. It would be a bit like taking a really good mum and dad, like these guys over here. And, you know, I see them this morning with their children, fantastic, playing with them at the front, not worried about anyone. But there will probably come a time when your children are pretty naughty, yeah? And you've got the choice then.
Surely not.
Yeah. What kind of children have you got here? So there will come that time when the day comes when you say, right, we're going to have to do a bit of discipline. And it will be like, just take in that day, that moment, that hour, and you go, is that the kind of parents you are? Is that how you are? And you haven't seen all the love that came on to the build up to that, and you haven't seen the outcome of that is that children are much better equipped for the world that they live in. And so that's what we get with Joshua. You see, the story didn't begin there. The story with the Canaanites who lived in Jericho, it started far beyond before that. You see, when Abraham got called to come out of his land and go into the promised land, God said to them, look, it's going to be 400 years before you enter that promised land. And so it wasn't God, when he finally came and Jericho happened and Ai and all the other battles that went on, it wasn't that God just woke up one day with the ump and thought, wipe them out. He didn't just randomly choose, you know, exterminate these people. It wasn't that. God had been waiting patiently for 400 years for these people to repent of what they were doing, to get their lives right. He didn't want any of them to perish, none of them. But in the end, he stepped in. He did something about it. But the New Testament tells us, Peter says, that God doesn't want any to perish. Can you imagine that? Just get that in your mind now, because this is the crux of where we're going. God really holding back? He's looking at his people, and he's even willing for his own people. You know, there's the Canaanites doing awful stuff over there, and his people, all of a sudden, they're getting oppressed by the Egyptians. They're getting used and abused by the Egyptians, and he's leaving his people there because he doesn't want that to happen. And then he feels, you know, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to have to release my people. Out you come, but I'm going to have to keep you in the desert for a little while. You know what I mean? So they're out in the desert. Why? Because he doesn't want judgment to come on the Canaanites, Perizzites, Ubibites, and all of the ites. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Can you see God's heart there, though? He's, oh, these are my people. I want to put them in a lovely place. I can't. But in the end, it comes. God says this in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, that the Lord God is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And he is forgiving of all people iniquity. And so God truly is a loving God. Truly he is. But he's also holy. He's also pure. He's also righteous. And in the end, justice must be done. And we wouldn't argue with that, really, because we're made in his image. And actually, we want justice done. When we see teenagers go to a pop concert and they get blown up because of someone else's ideology or whatever, we want justice. We want the perpetrators to be brought to justice. We want them to get what they deserve. When we see someone sexually abusing, like a gymnast coach, sexually abusing the girls that are put under his authority, we want him brought to justice, don't we? Yeah. It's within us. And so something rises up in us that wants that. Well, I want to say today that justice will be done. You look at the drug dealers out there, they get the big cars, they get the big houses, flash with their money, and that. Or you get the terrorists as well, that they're stacked out with money at the top. They will get what they deserve at the end if it's not now. And I know so many drug dealers from my old life who now, that they're walking about with one eye, battered up. It just takes a bit of time for God to work what he's doing. And if they don't get it this side of life, they will get it when God comes in the end. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Come on. My question is, have you suffered at the hands of rotten people? Have they done stuff to hurt you, to harm you? And that takes me already into it. My second point is that God won't put up with it forever. There will come a time when God steps in. You see, the truth is, with the Canaanites, they carried out really abominable practices, like they mediums, fortune tellers. It amazes me how many Christians still read the stars. Guys, it's not good. It's all there, you know. But they got even worse than that. What they were doing is burning their sons and daughters in fire. Can you imagine anyone thinking that that was a good thing? But it went on and in them days, and the Canaanites did it. And the agricultural evidence that we have today would show that actually thousands of young people were put through the fire by the Canaanites. So you can understand why God stepped in the end and he said, enough is enough. And so some of these verses are very difficult for us to work through. You know, Deuteronomy 20, God says there, do not leave alive anything that breathes. But it seems to me, if we glaze over these passages, we can. There was a pastor that I knew. He wasn't part of our stream, and he said, "No, we fillet the Bible. You know, like filleting fish, you fillet the bones out. They just fillet out the verses that they don't like." And if we do that with the verses of the Bible, I believe we make the Bible say that some of the things that God calls abominable, we make them, oh no, it's okay to do that today. See what I'm saying now? Yeah, and we don't want to be like that. And so, thirdly, so we need to understand. We need to understand that God was holding back, giving them compassion, but in the end, he will step in. And lastly, God doesn't, he was very concerned about the effect that the Canaanites would have on his people. You know, that if he left the Canaanites alive, that his people would pick up their rotten, horrible, evil practices. And as you read through the Old Testament, because God's people didn't wipe out everybody, some of their practices did come into play, and it went wrong for the Israelite nation. Now, can you imagine today if God hadn't wiped out that nation and that people were still putting on mass scale children through the fire? Can you imagine it on Snapchat, on the social media that we have today? Can you imagine that? It'd be awful, wouldn't it? So what we have to do is be careful who we allow to influence us in our lives. You see, we are to live in the world, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. That we are to love our enemies, but we are not to become like our enemies. And I just want to start applying a bit of this now, is that I'd ask you now, is there anyone influencing you to do what you shouldn't be doing? You know, I dare say, hopefully, that none of you are putting your children through fire. If you are, please come and see me at the end. But, okay, so we apply the word of God. Why I'm going to do this, I'll give the picture now, is what came earlier. Because in our hearts, we want to be like Jesus. Amen? But we allow this stuff, and the hardness starts to come. The rocks start to come. We look up and we go, why am I not as filled with the Spirit as that guy over there? Or, you know, I used to feel that close to you, God, but I'm not anymore. Because we get influenced the wrong way sometimes. So is anyone influencing you to drink too much? It's a social ill of today. Little bit's fine from what I can see of the Bible, but more than that, it really can grip hold of you. What about smoking puff, marijuana, blow, whatever you want to call it? See, I think Canada's even legalized it now. You watch, 10 years' time now, they're going to say that was the worst thing that country has ever done. Why? Because it's a stepping stone into every other way. And anyone on cannabis, if they were supposed to be the president of whatever, yeah, they won't even make a street sweeper. When they're on that, you just give up everything, aspirations completely go on that. Is someone around you encouraging you to do that? Because do you know what gets me in Islington? You cannot walk down the street, one street, without getting cannabis blown in. Is that like that here? It's terrible up there. But are you getting caught up with that? Are you starting to believe that lie that it's okay? The hardness of the heart comes. What about dodgy deals? I'm a businessman as well. We're always getting approached to kind of to do dodgy deals, bit of money, bit of this. We won't have any of that. But has that got in on your business, on your life? And what about swearing? I know an amazing Christian, just great, but he works in the construction industry. And he said, Clive, you just don't know what it's like out there now. Everybody swears. And unfortunately, I have to keep pulling him up and saying, come on, mate, you've got to stop that. Has someone started to influence you to do that stuff? Or has jealousy started to grow up in your heart? You know, where you've looked and you've seen, oh, that's the gift I wanted. Someone else is doing it. It's not good. Or gossip. Oh, did you hear what Charlie said the other day? It always comes out, oh, you know. And do you know what the worst thing is? It doesn't always come with that oh, does it? Sometimes, we just want to know what to pray for, right? But gossip gets in, doesn't it? You see, like where the Canaanites, God didn't want their practice infecting his people, in the same way we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We must love our neighbours, not wipe them out. Sorry if you wanted it to go that way, but it's not. You know? We love them, But we mustn't become like them. And what about stop giving to church? Oh, you don't need to give. 10%, you're joking. You know what I mean? Take the tax off first. Don't do this, whittle it down. And yeah, just stop giving for a while. You are withholding a blessing from yourself if you do that, okay? And the truth is this, that we all struggle with this stuff. And there's a whole lot more, you know, I do, okay? I'm not perfect, guys. There you go. Cooley's the only one I know who's perfect, so there you go. Come on. So, and the reality is that we all deserve what the Canaanites got. We deserve that. But the good news is that God doesn't want to bring judgment on us. And God our Father would do anything to give us a way out, a way that we wouldn't receive judgment in our lives. First of all, he sent the Old Testament prophets to say, come out of what you're doing, come back to God, do life God's way. They abused them. So in the end, God sent his son. He sent his son, Jesus, down to die on the cross. That our punishment, the punishment that we deserve, because we do deserve that punishment, none of us are perfect. Our punishment was placed in his body when he died on a cross, and it was punished in him. So that if we accept him, we don't have to come under judgment. And so some of these passages are really difficult. But actually, as we study them, it shows us that God is a good God, that God is a loving God, that God is a patient God. And as our Father, he loves us and he will put up with so much. But in the end, because he loves us, he will step in and finish with evil. He will finish with it. So he will step in because he doesn't want us hurt. And he doesn't want us influenced to do things the wrong way. And we know in the end he's going to do that. And all sin, all wrongs, all evil, all hurts and pains will go. But for now, the bad news is, although the Canaanites were mainly wiped out, we still live in an evil world where abominable practices are carried out in the world. And we can get hurt. We can get damaged. We can end up broken inside, broken so much that some, as Cooley said this morning, feel like suicide is the only way out. And there's everything in between. But Jesus came to set us free, as we were singing about earlier. Amen, church?
Amen.
Jesus sent his Holy Spirit that is here now to release us from the things that hurt us, harm us, wound us, and the Holy Spirit of God is here now. And so I would ask you, have you suffered at the hands of others? Are you still suffering at the hands of others? Have you been influenced to get a bad habit that is causing that hardness of heart, or putting rocks and blockages in your heart that stops the flow of God's Holy Spirit? If that's you, come up for prayer at the end. God wants to release people today. He wants to heal people today. He wants to soften hearts today. Have you been oppressed? That story of the Old Testament, when God's people were under Egypt and in the desert, it wasn't a nice time. Have you been oppressed like that? Maybe at work, maybe at home. God wants to release that from you today. He wants to take that hardness, the heaviness from you. Have you been abused as his people were then? Because it still goes on today. Is that you? Or have you been bullied like I was in my younger years, which is why I ended up fighting so much in my 20s? Praise God, they're over. Have you had a hold put on your life, like Israel had? The promised land was there, but they couldn't go. God was holding them back, the pressure of staying there. And it's ended up where you're frustrated because you feel you know what God wants you to do, but you just haven't been released to do that. If that's you, God wants to release you today. Just trust him. He will take you where he wants you to go. Shall we stand, guys? And if you want prayer for any of that, please, please come up. I will say one thing. Kate, if you've been doing life your own way and it really hasn't worked out, really hasn't gone the way you thought, and today you've realized, I'd love that help, I'd love Jesus to help me. He's holding back judgment day for you, that you could come out into that freedom and take his way out. He's holding it back. That's why he hasn't returned yet. If that's you and you'd like him in your heart, come and come up the front and I'll pray with you at the end. Thank you. Thank you.